Listen, a lot has been going down. It is Mental Health Awareness Month. Mother's Day is coming up. We just had our baby shower. I am in the home stretch of this third pregnancy, and there is so much for us to catch up on. So if you are ready for all of the journey updates, and if you want to learn how you can be a wise woman that promotes and encourages generational healing with joy, then you've come to the right place, my friend. Stay tuned, because this episode is chock full of juicy goodness that is sure to enrich your life with joy. One feel-good thing at a time.
Hey guys, you're listening to the Journey to Purpose podcast with Erica Lasson. The road to joy and purpose can feel unfamiliar, uncomfortable, and sometimes, because others don't always understand it, it can be isolating and lonely. For almost 30 years of my life, I identified myself through roles and titles that put pressure on me to perform, but often left me feeling empty and void of purpose. But things got real when I discovered I'd be gaining yet another new title, that of mommy. It was at that point of surrender that I chose joy. Now, as a joy strategist and creative consultant, I help women and entrepreneurs in transitional phases of life find joy, purpose, and healing in what's next. In this podcast, we dive deep into stories, lessons, and transparent conversations to uncover vision manifesting joy gems that are sure to help you rediscover, reconnect, and recommit to your purpose and identity and joy, one feel-good thing at a time.
Hey, 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 guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Journey to Purpose podcast with me, Erica Lasson. I have so much to catch you guys up on. Like, life has been lifing in all of the best ways possible. This baby is growing. We are glowing. Life has been good. I'm also really excitedly nervous for some of the changes that will be taking place in the next couple weeks, because we're officially in the home stretch. One of the things I've been hearing a lot is, oh my gosh, like that went by so fast. And my response is usually like, yeah, pregnancy usually does go by fast for the person that's not having the baby. For the person that's not carrying the child, it does always seem like it's going by really fast. But let me tell you, I am swelling and stretching and making way for new life. And I am really excited for this process to be nearing its end in due time. Since baby read number 3 is making its debut 6 years after having my last pregnancy, we kind of had to start from scratch. So we have absolutely nothing, or at least we had absolutely nothing prepared for this baby until this past weekend when we had our baby shower. And let me tell y'all, it was everything that I wanted, okay? The theme was baby in bloom. Different people have different vibes that they go for during life events, but the vibe that I was going for with this shower was really chill. Just like chill. That's all we wanted. We wanted people to come, have a good time, eat good food. We wanted the kids to have fun playing outdoors, running around. We wanted the adults to have fun connecting with each other, getting to meet other members of our vibe tribe. And we just wanted to play games and enjoy ourselves. And also charcuterie letters, because let me tell you, if there was one thing that I just wanted to have, I wanted to have a beautiful charcuterie letter display. And I don't know, maybe I'll do a little short snippet of what it took to build the charcuterie letters as a DIY project. If anyone is interested, let me know in the comments, because I was very pleased with how it came out. And I really look forward to continuing to grow in my love and joy for creating charcuteries. Like, it was really fun. It was really pretty. And more importantly, it was really delicious. I kept saying throughout the night, like, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And it was because my heart was so full. So I'm going to include a couple snippets of that here so you can check it out. Outside of planning our shower, some other really cool things that have been happening recently is just taking time for personal reflection. I don't know if it's the season of spring that generally gets me in the mood to think about things, because like life is blooming, like really, like, you know, trees are getting green, the grass is starting to grow, you're seeing flowers and things like that. It just feels like a season of new life. And I always find that when it comes to the months of April and May, I'm like really excited to do things. But I also appreciate the opportunity to do them with intention. So I've been reflecting a lot. And as I was reflecting and I was speaking with some of my siblings, this idea of doing a corporate fast came up, and like just praying and fasting together for a couple of days. In that time, one of the things that came up for me in particular, as I was doing my reading and devotional time and my personal Bible study, was this desire for generational healing. There was also a prayer point of unity, and there was also a prayer point of leadership, us being good leaders, us being under good leadership, not only in society, but also in our homes, you know, praying for the men in our lives, praying for ourselves as women and caregivers. We're also leaders in our own right. So also giving us the understanding for how we can lead with joy and patience and empathy and kindness and gentleness and all of these other things. That was another prayer point. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I love watching shows. Generally, when I'm doing domestic duties or tasks like folding laundry, washing dishes, I'm usually also entertaining myself visually or otherwise. And one of the recent shows that I was watching around this time of, I guess, just considering generations and like the impact of women in leadership was this show on, well, I watched it on HBO, but I think it's an FX show called Shogun. But the thing that I took away from watching the entire series, even though the men were in positions of power, it was the act of a woman that actually created the ability for there to be peace and order for that entire generation. Like, it's crazy. It's a really good show. Bear with me. I promise this is going somewhere. In the show, and I think generally speaking, when we consider the role of women and wives and being caregivers and nurturers, women are seen as submissive, right? Like, we are meant to be submissive and we are expected to be supporters of other people. But there is also so much wisdom and power that we possess as women, even in that position of submission. And the show Shogun really explores that very beautifully. As I was considering this, even in my time of prayer and fasting, I thought about that for our generation and what that even begins to look like. In order to prepare for that period of corporate prayer and fasting, one of the things that I felt in my spirit that we should do was actually prepare for it, right? Like, you can pray anytime, obviously. You can fast anytime, obviously. And especially if it's something where you're seeking to do the will of God, sometimes it just helps to ask the Lord, like, what is it that you want from me? I spent the time asking the Lord, like, Lord, how do you want us to do this? Like, what are some things that we should be praying for that we're not even aware of? The first day of the corporate prayer, so many things came up for me, and that's basically what I'm going to be sharing in today's episode. How our role as women, nurturers, caregivers, parents is so paramount and so important in this process of healing future generations. But I feel like I'm starting to ramble a little bit. So let's just get into it, shall we? Let's do it. One scripture that came up was from Proverbs 14:1, and it says, "A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands." I'm gonna read that one more time. "A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands." And when I tell you I read that and I was perplexed, I was like, Lord, what are you trying to say? I mean, not that I'm taking it personally, but like, it's something about it just really sat with me. Like, dag, as women, again, thinking about the power of women, right? And how we're expected to be submissive. The idea of women being in such a position of power that you can build up your home or you could tear it down. And as I began to read that passage, and also just considering this idea of leadership in the home, right? Because again, the prayer was initially for the men in the family and how we could potentially support them. So this conversation of being a wise woman and building up the home was actually pretty relevant. There were three questions that came to mind for me. The first was, Lord, what makes a wise woman? And how can I be one? Because I'm trying to build up my home, okay? I'm not trying to tear it down. And when it comes to supporting the leader in our home, right? Like my husband, how can I be a wise woman that builds him up, right? Builds up our home and like doesn't tear him down or tear down our home. And in that, like also considering our children. The second question that came up was, Lord, in what ways may I currently be unconsciously, right? Because a lot of times we do stuff and we don't even realize we're doing it. How can I be unconsciously tearing down my home? Like what do I need to be made aware of that I'm not even considering that is counterproductive to the vision of a peaceful, impactful, like joyful home, which is the vision that he's placed on my heart? How may I possibly be getting in my own way? And the third question that came to mind was, Lord, how may I build up my home and what tools and resources and prayers, okay, do I need to keep top of mind in order to successfully be a wise woman? How can I be granted the peace and patience to sustain building up our home so that I'm not tearing it down? And when I tell you, I asked this question and I got an immediate response, my mind was blown. My mind was blown, y'all, because the Lord answered. He literally gave me a 5-step process to how to become a wise woman that answered each and every single one of those questions. And it's so cool. And I'm so excited to share that process with you guys. And I'm gonna tell you what he said after this quick break. / I gotta go pick up my kids from school, so I'll be back. For almost a decade, I'd been looking for the perfect planner system, but every time I thought I found a planner that met my time management needs, there always seemed to be something missing. Most of the planners that I would use failed to meet all of my needs and considerations as an entrepreneurial mom. And when I wasn't able to hit every single task that I set out to do for the day, it often left me feeling like I was failing to meet my own expectations. Okay, cue the disappointment, the guilt, and all the other things that we try to avoid when we're productive overachievers. Can you relate to this at all? I'm sure you can't. Right? And it's for this very reason that I decided to create my own planner called the Journey Daily Planner, which prioritized my mental health and well-being first in order to influence and inspire more productivity and fulfillment in my life, career, and relationships. I want to let you guys know that the Journey Daily Planner is in the world. This planner system was created with busy women, busy parents, busy caregivers, busy entrepreneurs in mind to provide clarity in what you do. But more importantly, it was created with the intention of highlighting why you do the things that you do and making sure that you're aligned with your purpose with every single decision, action, and task that you decide to take on. So this way you can feel that your time is being well spent. This planner system was also created to prioritize your well-being, because it doesn't matter how much money you're making in the world, if your mind, your body, your spirit, and your social life is in shambles. One of the other main goals of this planner, and something that sets it aside from all of the other planners on the market, is that it was created to reduce overwhelm. Overall, the main point of this planner is to make sure that you are including fun in your quest for productivity. Because as I always say in the Journey to Purpose, joy is our job. And the moment we're able to get clear on what brings us joy and we're able to understand how that joy is connected to our purpose, then we're able to selfishly live in our joy and in service to others, but not from a space of obligation and overwhelm, but one where we're really committed to living out that joy on a daily basis in service to others. I feel like I just said a lot. And I feel like I repeat it a lot, but that's because that's what it is. So with all that being said, if you are interested in getting a Journey Daily Planner for yourself, make sure you head on over to ericalasan.com and purchase your Journey Daily Planner today. Okay. And remember, we're on the journey together, one feel good thing at a time. And we're back, and we're back, and we're back, and we're back. Yeah. The kids are down in bed. We've done all the nighttime things. Homework is complete. And now it's time for me and you to dive into part two of this week's episode, where we're going to be talking about the five-step solution that the Holy Spirit downloaded into my heart, my mind, and my soul about how we can become wise women, okay? Wise women that encourage and promote peace, joy, love, you know, the usual, but also generational healing, one feel-good thing at a time. Quick recap. Based on where I left you, I was telling you how I had read Proverbs 14:1, and it spoke of a wise woman and how a wise woman built her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And I'm like, listen, Lord, I'm not trying to be a foolish woman. I want to be wise. I want to build up my home and the people in it. How do we do that though? How can we begin to do that? And the Holy Spirit began to minister to me in taking me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. So I'm just going to jump right in. You ready? Let's do this. Step one, the first step to being a wise woman is to always be humble and gentle. Humility is just recognizing that you don't have to have all the answers. You can put your pride aside. In the past 2 or 3 years, I've mentioned here on this podcast how the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me personally, and how starting 2 or 3 years ago through my business, He really began to convict me of the spirit of pride that I had and how it was impacting different areas of my life, not just in terms of like business or career, but also like my relationships. As I began to sit with what the Holy Spirit was telling me, He was like, yeah, you need to humble yourself. It was wild to see how that understanding of the sin of pride, thinking that you can be self-sufficient, thinking that you don't need anybody, thinking that you can do everything all the time, all at once, when that's not the case. No one is meant to do everything all by themselves. But more importantly, you need God's guidance, God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's understanding, God's words, God's patience, God's love, God's forgiveness, God's grace. Like, you need God in order to do everything. Like, literally, you can't even breathe without God's breath in your body. So once you begin to recognize this, it makes the process of accepting humility and receiving it as a gift so much easier. And with that, it allows you to be gentler with yourself, but also gentle with others, and recognizing that the same way that you would desire grace, in the same way that you would want forgiveness, in the same way that you would want support, you get to give that to other people. And I know that that's easier said than done. And it's like, well, girl, okay, that's nice in theory, but how do we do that? Don't worry, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. In Ephesians 4, verses 2-3, it says, be patient with one another, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now, in considering this idea, because I feel like this is an ideal, right? Of course, we always want to be humble and we want to be gentle with the people in our lives. But truth be told, sometimes it's hard. Okay, it's hard when people are working your nerves. It's hard when you are lacking patience. It's hard when you haven't gotten enough sleep. It's hard when you're hangry. It's hard when you feel like you don't have enough time for yourself. But the thing to note here is that we should make allowance for each other's faults, not because we're perfect or we expect perfection, but because of, as it says in verse 2, our love. Okay. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And truth be told, in and of ourselves, we cannot do that. But scripture also tells us to make every effort to keep ourselves united in spirit, binding ourselves together with peace. So it's not in our power that we're able to do it. But when we are moving with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are then given the tools and the resources and the understanding of how we can begin to bind ourselves with the people around us, how we can move with more love, and how we can give more grace in order to tap into that patience for one another and making allowances for each other's faults, which is something that we'll actually touch on in a later part of this five-step process. Because again, it sounds like a nice idea, but it's like, how we do that though? How do we, like practically, how can we begin to do that? We're gonna touch on that. Which brings us to part two of this wise woman outline, okay? Discerning your gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now, when we're talking about gifts, we're talking about spiritual gifts, okay? And there are a couple that are outlined in verses 11 through 13, which I'm going to touch on in a bit. But the point here is we as women, as caregivers, as parents, as guardians, are not meant to put our gifts to the wayside. We are not meant to sit on the talents that we've been given, thinking that we're doing it in service to other people, thinking that, well, I don't have time to pursue that creative outlet. I don't have time to do that thing that interests me. I don't have time to have passions. Like, who has time for that? No. You are meant to utilize your gifts. And this not only serves and benefits you, but it benefits the other people around you within the vicinity of your everyday living, like your kids, your partner, your spouse. But it also serves the world. Like, the world needs your gift, but you can't begin to use your gift if you don't even know what it is. So it's imperative that you take time to discern whatever your gift is. But the other really important thing to note about this step of discerning your gifts is that whatever your gift is meant to bring you joy, okay? It is meant to serve you, yes, and serve others around you, yes, but it is also something that has been given freely to you. And more than likely, it's something that is aligned with your innate talent, your innate purpose, like the very reason that God has put you here on this earth. So you have to use your gift. And it's not one of those things where if you don't use it, you lose it. The gift is always with you. You just have to spend time with it and nurture it. Nourish your gifts. You will be so surprised to see where they lead you. And also how much better it makes you for other people around you. Because when you're living in your gifts and when you're utilizing your talents, when you are exercising your creativity, it elevates your mood and it creates a ripple effect of joy that is contagious. Okay, take it from me. The impact of prioritizing joy in your life goes beyond your wildest dreams. It really does have the power to not only heal your relationship with yourself, but it has the power to heal your marriage. It has the power to heal your relationship with motherhood. It has the power to impact and transform your household and your relationships with family and friends and the way that you show up in the world. So understand that discerning your gifts is more than a nice idea. It's something that is, I want to say, biblical, and each and every single one of us, as it says here, it's stated in the Bible, okay? I'm not making this up. Each one of us has a special gift. Make time to do something creative today, okay? Take time to fuel your joy. Take time to rediscover your passions and discern your gifts, which actually brings us to step three of this wise woman process, okay? Which is to use your gifts not only to serve yourself, but to serve others. I kind of touched on this a little bit in step two. When you're clear on what your gift is and you understand all of the beautiful ways that the Lord has designed you, then you'll be able to see how well equipped you are to equip and serve others, but in a way that feels light and joyful. So you want to do it. Am I making any sense? I hope I'm making sense. If I'm making sense, give me a thumbs up, okay? But in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it dives deep in helping us understand what the spiritual gifts are that have been left for us to pick up, utilize, share. So I'm just going to read that real quick, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13 says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do its work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Ooh. Ooh. And then it goes on to talk about the importance of having these spiritual gifts. And basically it's so that we won't be wishy-washy with our faith, but that's a different conversation for another day. The point is there are different spiritual gifts. The apostles, the people that Jesus sent out, the prophets, and people who may have had visions, people who were able to interpret God's word, especially when the baptism of the Holy Spirit arrived and people were speaking in tongues, but nobody knew what they were saying. The prophets were the people who were able to translate what was being said and what the Lord was trying to tell the church. The evangelists, the people who go out and share the love of God with others in a way that helps grow the church. The pastors, the people who are in positions of leadership within the different bodies of the church, and teachers, the people who read and study God's word and then are able to break it down for you one feel good thing at a time so that you're able to actually digest, process, and implement the things that are being shared in God's words. All of those things are gifts. Which one is yours? A couple of places where you can take a quiz around what your spiritual gifting is. And actually, if I can remember the website that I went to or the place where I found it, I'll include it in the description box if you're watching on YouTube or in the show notes if you happen to be listening on a streaming platform. The reason why any of us have spiritual gifts is so that we can serve and build others up. And more specifically, if you are a person of faith, it is important that we use our gifts, as it says in verse 12, to equip God's people to do his work, God's work, and build up the church, the body of Christ. And it doesn't have to be something that is done out of obligation. It's not something that should feel weighty. It's not something that should feel heavy or that you have to drag your feet to do. Speaking of spiritual gifts, in verse 16, it goes on to say, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, he being Christ Jesus. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Isn't that beautiful? Even with those five spiritual gifts that were given, right? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Within each of those sections, each person gets to engage and interact with their gift in a special way. Like a special way that only you can do it because only God would have designed you in that way. Given your background, given your personal talents, given your interests, given your knowledge, given the people you hang out with, like you are specially equipped to do one of those five things, but in a very, very highly unique way. Isn't that cool? The whole reason why we have our gifts and the reason why you need to use it and not be stingy with it, okay? Because it says here, I'm gonna just read it one more time because it's so juicy. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Like, not all wishy-washy, janky-like, perfectly. And each part does its own special work. So good. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. If that ain't a word, I don't know what is. Which brings us to step four of this wise woman process, which is to let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Okay. I'm going to say that one more time. Let the Holy Spirit, okay, not just any spirit, because we're talking about the big ass spirit, the Holy Spirit, renew your thoughts and attitudes. And this is so important. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, it says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. All right. Now, this kind of goes back to the first point that I made about being humble and gentle. Remember, like we spoke about always being humble and gentle, being patient and giving grace and all that stuff. And it's like, well, how, Sway, when life is happening and life is lifing, okay? The question then becomes, how can you begin to be humble and gentle, especially in trying times and when people are trying your nerves? And this is the answer. The answer is to allow the Holy Spirit to renew your thoughts. But the only way to do that and put on this new nature that is God-like is to understand what God's nature is, right? Like, you can't begin to put on what you don't know. You can't begin to emulate what you've never seen. So it's almost like creating a vision for yourself, except you don't have to create the vision. The vision and the outline for what is holy, what is righteous, what is God-like has all been outlined here. All of God's character has been shown to us, and not even all of it, because to some extent, we will never fully understand all of who God is and all that his being encapsulates. Like, we won't be able to even begin to fathom that until we get to heaven. But in the meantime, he has left us like cookie crumbs. Like, but they're really, really substantial cookie crumbs in understanding who God is, what his heart is, what he desires for us, what his intention was for us when he created us in this world that we live in, and all the other things. So the only way to allow ourselves to get to the point where we can even put on a new nature that is God-like is to study his word, get to know him, spend time with him, be in relationship with him. And as we begin to do that, his Holy Spirit will begin to transform not only our thoughts, but our actions. And we are able to have new thoughts and different attitudes about things that may have been buried in us and habits of ours for even generations, or things that may have been passed down through bloodlines that may have been developed generations before that we have picked up by default just because we don't have any understanding of anything different. As you choose to listen to the words, right? Because faith comes back from hearing, that there's a scripture in Romans that says that. As you get to know God's word, who he is, study the character of Jesus, the way in which faith was the catalyst for healing for so many people that he interacted with, your life will begin to change. The way you think about things will begin to change. The way you see people will begin to change. The way you look at your situation and circumstances will begin to change. And each of these things will allow your attitude towards life to change. And in the moments when you are failing, because it's bound to happen, it's when you find yourself frustrated or annoyed, or you feel yourself reverting back to old habits, thoughts, or attitudes that don't serve you or the mission that God has put you on, then you can pray a really simple prayer. Lord, teach me. Teach me. What is it that I need to know right now? What is it that I need to release right now? Lord, what about you do I need to understand in this moment to get me to the next part of your plan for my life? And I promise you, the Lord honors those things. And as you begin to pray those prayers and ask those questions, the Lord will begin to minister to your heart and your spirit in a way that changes the way that you think, like really from a fundamental and foundational standpoint. For example, the way that I see rest. Y'all know I talk about rest on this podcast all the time, but it started from a really rough time about 4 years ago where I felt, I don't want to say I was at rock bottom, but I was in a really low place. And I detailed that in one of the past podcast episodes, the Faith It Till You Make It episode, and also the Canvas and Clay episode, and a number of them, honestly. there would be really tough moments where I was in a space of wanting to give up. I would ask the Lord to show me something different, like teach me. At this point, I don't know, and I'm tired of acting like I know, and I don't want to be in control of the situation anymore. I need you to take control. And the Lord would begin to almost like spoon feed me his understanding of what was required for that season of my life that would not only get me out of the situation that I was in and the feelings that I had about whatever the situation was, but it would also equip me to leave that time and space with a testimony that could then help somebody else. Like, so much of my business as a joy strategist is based on my struggles, my personal struggles and hardships that I may have gone through that allows me to see things from a different perspective that's fueled by faith. The last step in this process of how you can become a wise woman is to not let anger control you. I'm gonna say that one more time. Don't let anger control you. And you're probably like, girl, what are you even talking about? But here, I'm gonna get to it right now. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 31, there is a whole section about how we can stop being angry. I'm gonna just read it, okay? It says, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." Verse 29 says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." And in verse 31, it goes on to say, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you." So good, man. So good. It's like so clear, right? Basically, talk to each other nice. Be nice to each other in the same way that you would want someone to be nice to you. Be nice to other people. And while this may sound easier said than done, the best way to avoid allowing anger to control you is to take a moment. Take a moment to not say anything. Take a moment to process. Take a moment to reflect. Take a moment to figure out what may actually be driving your anger in that moment, so the Holy Spirit can begin to minister to whatever it is that's actually triggering the anger. Because a lot of times you may find that anger is the surface level feeling, and there are a couple of things under that. And as you begin to take a moment to be still, spend time with the Holy Spirit, ask some questions and pray, the Lord will begin to reveal to you how you can really work your way out of that anger so that you can release the bitterness, the slander, the mean words, and not so nice actions that you may want to give into by default. But it's so interesting to me because I remember reading that scripture last year around October or September or so, and I was kind of in a funky headspace, something having to do with a lack of time, feeling like I had a lack of time around the half day kindergarten schedule and feeling like I was supposed to be doing more. But at that point, my business was not doing so hot and things were moving really slow. And at one point, I felt very angry. And I was asking the Lord why I felt angry and also how I could release it. And what the Holy Spirit ministered to me was that it wasn't just that I was angry in that moment, but I was disappointed. And as I began to speak with him, one of the questions I had was, "Lord, how can I be less angry?" And I remember he gave me this scripture as an outline for understanding how I could be less angry. But this time around, as I'm reading it, it has taken on a completely different meaning. What stood out to me was the fact that anger can cause us to sin. Think about it. Like, it says it right here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, "And don't sin by letting anger control you." And it is so true. Anger do be controlling us, okay? Anger can make us act so out of character. Anger can cause us to speak so harshly to the people that we love the most, including our children, including our partners and spouses. Anger can cause us to come out of pocket. Anger can cause us to just become a very different version of ourselves. And that's because we've given into it. And the thing about anger is, and I love how scripture makes it a point to point out what should be obvious. But when we are angry, and then that anger turns, that seed of anger turns into bitterness, how it can literally kill and destroy us, our relationships, and many positive things that we can have in the future, only from a moment. Right? But it starts with a seed. It starts with the seed of anger. And then from there, it can grow. So going back to this thought and this idea and the question that I initially asked the Lord of, how can I be a wise woman, Lord? How can I be a wise woman that builds up my home instead of tearing it down with my own hands? This scripture right here was one that really spoke to me, right? Because it gives us so many ways that we can begin to avoid being the foolish woman that tears down her own home. In verse 29, it says that we can avoid using foul or abusive language. We can let everything that we say be good and helpful so that our words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And that's not to say that we shouldn't speak truth or that we shouldn't share our thoughts, especially if there are things that need to be addressed, right? Like, you aren't going to see your kid doing something that is disrespectful or something that will harm themselves or others around them and not say anything. The point isn't to avoid confrontation, but the point is to be discerning and intentional about your words and how you use them, recognizing how impactful they can be, not only in that moment, but how they can actually plant seeds for the future. If we're being discerning and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide, again, our thoughts and our attitudes as we're saying the things that we say, the words that we say, while potentially stern and maybe even having discipline as a part of them, the words should also be used to encourage and edify the people around us. I feel like I want to give you guys an example of something that happened recently, but I want to save that for a future podcast episode. We have one coming up next month about patience, parenting, and prioritizing peace. And I got a little story to tell y'all. I have a story to tell you guys. And this scripture is one of the ones that came to mind because when I tell you I wanted to go off, I wanted to go off, but I had to let the Holy Spirit renew my thoughts and my attitudes and how I handled the situation, how we handled the situation in our house. So I'll save that for a future podcast episode. But the point is, okay, this last and final point of how to be a wise woman is to not allow anger to control you and instead just be kind to one another. I know that that sounds so much easier said than done, but it really does come down to treat other people the way you want to be treated. Okay? treat people nice. That's what I got. I hope that I've made that clear. To recap, the five steps to being a wise woman that promotes and encourages generational healing in your home, one feel good thing at a time, are as follow. Okay. Step one, always be humble and gentle. Being patient with each other and making allowances for each other's faults. Basically, come together in love. Find yourself with the Holy Spirit and remember, at the end of the day, we are meant to love each other. Step two, discern your gifts. Recognize that each of us, each and every single one of us has been given a gift through Christ Jesus. And we're not meant to be stingy with that gift. We're not meant to sit on that gift. We are not meant to allow that gift to collect dust. We are meant to figure out what the gift is and use it for our good, but more importantly, for God's glory, which brings me to Point three, as you use your gifts, don't just do it to serve yourself, but recognize that your gift is meant to serve others. With this, take time to assess which of the five spiritual giftings is yours. Are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? Are you an evangelist, a preacher, or a teacher? Let me know in the comments. Step four. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. But the only way you can begin to do this is to understand what the character and the heart of God is. You got to study His Word, get in fellowship, but more importantly, communicate with Him, build a relationship with Him, ask the Holy Spirit questions. And I promise you, as you ask questions, He will deliver answers. And finally, part five of this wise woman plan is to not allow anger to control you, because anger has its way and a seed of anger can grow into so much, but we don't want to give the devil the power to control us and use us like puppets through our anger. Those are the five steps to how you can be a wise woman that builds up your home and not tearing it down. I hope that these words and these ideas blessed you, especially coming up upon Mother's Day. And while I said a lot today, because I did, like from pleading prayers to wise women and how to speak nice to one another, the whole point of what all of this means for you is that generational healing can begin with you. You may have grown up in a home where things were less than ideal. So you may not have had the greatest upbringing, but you have the power to change that for generations to come. As a woman, though the world may have us think that we aren't as powerful as we are, as caregivers, as parents, we have the power to transform the world in future generations through radical joy. All it takes is one. All it takes is one. One mind, one person, one soul, one kid, one ripple effect can go out and create a tidal wave. I feel like I'm doing the most. My feet are so swollen and I'm so hot. So I'm going to wrap this episode up by sharing this week's joy gem. And it comes from Proverbs 31:26. And it's a really simple, real clear-cut scripture, okay? It says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Now, if that don't sound like a great summary of everything that we've spoken about, okay, point blank, period. So that brings us to the end of this week's episode. I hope that you found this conversation fruitful for you in your journey, as it is Mental Health Awareness Month, that this conversation around wisdom and the power of our words and how we can be less angry and how we can pray prophetic seeds over our lives and the lives of other people around us. I pray that all of this helps you in your mental health journey, but I'd like to hear from you. How did you enjoy this week's episode? Let me know in the comments what your favorite part of this wise woman plan is and how you feel it could help you this week. Hey, babe. Not much. What's going on? I'm hot and sweaty and wrapping up this podcast episode. If you like this week's episode, please give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the podcast. And if you'd like to learn more about the Journey to Purpose and stay in the loop of all the journey updates, then you, my friend, may want to subscribe to our bi-weekly newsletter called Journey Mail. If you're interested in subscribing to the Journey Mail newsletter and becoming a member of our Vibe Tribe, then head on over to the link that's shared in the show notes if you're listening on a streaming platform, or in the description box if you're watching on YouTube. And if you enjoyed this, okay, like I'm saying, if you didn't just like it, but you love it and you want some more of it, then share this with a friend. With all of that being said, y'all, I am so hot. I like really need to go. But I look forward to chatting with you guys in a couple of weeks, where we'll be having another joy-fueled conversation. This time, we're going to be talking about having joy in the wilderness, because if y'all remember earlier this year, or was it later last year? At some point, I was going through it. During that season, I was having a moment where I felt like I was in the wilderness. But even in that time, the Lord gave me a message of hope, joy, redemption, promise, and a whole bunch of other good stuff. So that's what we're going to be talking about, which makes sense, right? Mental Health Awareness Month. We're going to talk about how you can begin to have joy in the wilderness, one feel-good thing at a time. Until then, have a wonderful week. Happy Mother's Day to all of you who are mothers and mother figures. And I wish you all a blessed and joy-filled week. Remember, we're on the journey together, one feel-good thing at a time. Bye. Now I'm gonna get some water and a fan. See ya.